Hello, this is the podcast for our class number 4 on Wednesday, September 1, and we're continuing to talk about our standard of care for a negligence action. Remember, I said before that you need 5 elements for cause of action for negligence: duty, breach, causation, proximate cause, and damages. We skipped over duty for a couple of classes, and we went into breach because we feel it's important that you understand our basis for negligence, which, as opposed to strict liability, negligence means only liable under certain circumstances. And the circumstances are when you have not behaved reasonably, when you've created an unreasonable risk, and breached your duty of reasonable care. So this, for the last couple of classes, we've just been talking about what is reasonable care, who gets to define it, and how can you describe it for a jury? Because we've always said breach, which is just the second element, breach of your duty of reasonable care, is a question of fact for the jury to decide. However, we saw in the last class with Goodman and Pecora, Judge Holmes decided, when you have the same situation over and over again, we can make a rule rather than set just a standard, this vague reasonable care. Pecora comes along, has to change that. Whenever you try to make a standard into a rule of behavior, you usually have to back away. We started this class with Aikens, and we saw that the question here was the reasonableness of a design of a baseball field, and the court in that case, the judges decided, well, we don't have to send this to the jury. We can decide as a matter of law, that this was a reasonable design, even though they didn't have a barrier or fencing all the way around it, and somebody got hit by a baseball, doesn't mean that they breached their standard, their duty of reasonable care. They didn't create an unreasonable risk by this design. So as a matter of law, they said no reason for a jury to decide this. No jury could come up with a different decision. I question this case. I think if it had gone to a jury, I think a jury could have come up with a decision for the plaintiff, but for any number of reasons, the court kept it to themselves, as opposed to the design of airplane overhead bins in the Andrews case. Here, Judge Kaczynski said, there's plenty of evidence and there are plenty of facts. Let's just send this to the jury. He wasn't going to decide. Use a tort case as a way to reform the entire airline industry or tell the airline industry what to do. If you'd said they had to retrofit all of their overhead bins, that would have been an extraordinary expense. So he let this one go to the jury. The thing to take away from this is that there are decisions judges may, on occasion, you may be able to persuade your judge that there's just no matter here to go to the jury. That would be pretty much the defendant. Remember, the plaintiff wants to get to the jury, the defendant wants to stop it. So you could decide as a matter of summary judgment that no reasonable jury could decide that there was any issue of breach of their duty of reasonable care. But primarily, of course, the question's going to be for the jury, and the big issue is how to persuade the jury. How can we describe reasonable care as to give the jury some foundation with which to make their decision? And there are two main ways that are used, two main areas that are used to give some foundation to the jury's decision about reasonable care. First is evidence of customary practice. The second is statutory violations. We talked about customary, Trimark v. Klein. custom is just is useful for illustrating that there is a safer way, that it is technically feasible to do something safer. Other people have found it to be financially feasible to do something safer. So it's certainly a powerful tool to use to persuade a jury that by not doing something in a safer way, it is that the plaintiff, that the defendant created an unreasonable risk. Custom isn't dispository. It's just another piece of evidence for the jury to look at. So when can you use the custom to set the standard? And why do you use it? It just shows there's a safer way, community standards. Defendant should have been aware of the risks. Custom doesn't have to be widespread to use it. It is certainly sometimes it can't keep up with changing technology. Sometimes industry standards lag behind the custom. We saw this with the T.J. Hooper case, that although the tugboat defendant said that there wasn't any custom for tugboats to have radios, so there was not having a radio didn't breach any duty of reasonable care. The court said, well, just because customs lag behind safety standards doesn't mean that they've automatically, by meeting this lower level of custom, they certainly haven't automatically met their duty of reasonable care. And then we talked about statutes. Statutes are extremely important when using them to set a standard. Remember, the statutes, it's not the statute that was written to set civil liability. For example, I use the example of a statute that says if you give a gun to a child and that child uses that to injure someone, you're automatically going to be civilly liable. No, that's not the kind of statute that we're talking about. We're talking about a statute that was passed for some other purpose besides civil liability. When can we use the violation of that statute to show that our standard of reasonable care has been breached? And there are three ways to use a statutory violation. Statutory violation can be negligence per se. That means it goes to the jury and the jury has to find negligence, that is, breach of a duty of reasonable care. So that means the statute in itself defines what reasonable care is. That's the most rigid, the strictest. It takes away any discretion from the jury, goes to the jury, jury has to find negligence. Why does it go to the jury? It's because then the jury still has to look at the other elements of causation, proximate cause, and damages, but it takes the question of whether our defendant has, or the other party, has breached their duty. It takes that away. Yes, automatically, negligence per se. Second way a statute can be looked at is a presumption of negligence. We talked about the question of inference v. presumption. We're going to talk about that more next class. But an inference just allows the jury to find, reach a conclusion. A presumption mandates that the jury has to reach a conclusion. So a presumption of negligence must mean it goes to the jury. They have to find negligence unless it's rebutted. It's a rebuttable presumption unless it's rebutted by the defendant. And then the third way a statutory violation can occur is if it is just mere evidence of negligence. And we talked about what that might mean. So again, Martin v. Herzog, negligence per se, no excuse. Tedley v. Ellman, negligence unless there's a good excuse. And the Restatement Section 15